Now this is more than a hobby. Give them more like I'm Bobby. This is my team and they got me. Shout out to Billy, we're bonding. We got us 3 cups, mate. I know it ain't too late. We'll turn that 3 into 4 and turn that 4 into 8. So come on, you Irons. It's time, throw on your claret and blue and listen up to this rhyme. 112 years, wow. Iconic bowling ground at London Stadium now. Blowing bubbles from the crowd, let the Premier League know. The Irons going for the goal, scoring 100 plus goals like Paulo Di Canio. So kick it off with the homies, known as Brawley and Tony, and keep on blowing those bubbles until they bring us a trophy. I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, and I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hey,
I believe it, I know that we're winning. I've been here since the very beginning. Yeah. Dreaming of the gold medal, we're lifting, set it up like we're penalty kicking.
Welcome back to another episode of the American West Ham podcast. I'm Tony up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Over there we got Brawley in St. Louis. How's it going, brother?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back. It's been a while. It's been probably the best 2 weeks of my life, but it's been great. I'm glad to be back.
Best 2 weeks because you didn't have to talk to me, or 2 weeks because you just got married?
Probably a little bit of both, but we'll go with the married thing.
Yeah, sounds good. So one thing that we are going to try and do is try to get back to Sundays, folks. We like to record on Sunday evenings and get our podcast out on Monday, because it seems like the schedule goes Mondays our podcast goes out, and Monday nights, Tuesday morning is more than just a pod. Wednesdays are West Ham Way, and Thursdays are Green Street Pod. So we kind of want to get back to our typical schedule. What you thinking, Brawley?
Yeah, I would like to get back to doing a regular show. It just hasn't worked out with us, with you being busy with work, me being busy with work, especially when you throw weddings into the mix. It schedule doesn't work out too well, but hopefully from here on out we can start doing a regular one every single week.
Yeah, I miss trying to get back to the usual editing. We've been a little soft on that, throwing music in there, but rest assured that we're going to get back into it. Emails. We've gotten a few emails and DMs. Again, since we've both been very busy, slow to respond, we love our emails. We love our feedback from our listeners. So please be patient. We will get back to you on all those emails. I saw some ticket questions, and our winner also messaged us back so we can get him signed up for a game. That was, what, first game of the season that we did the ticket contest?
Yeah, and well, at least he I was worried for a while there that he wasn't going to ever claim them, so I was thinking maybe we would have to do another one, but he replied, which is good. Daniel Perry, I believe, was his name. So you need to sort out with him what game he's going to choose, and hopefully he'll have a good time on with the tickets that we gave him.
Yep, he won 2 tickets to a home game or 1 ticket to an away game, pending that somebody in our friend group already didn't claim that game. So we're going to see if we can hook a brother up. Let's get right into Manchester City, since I don't have any other business. The lineup is as followed: Fabianski, Masuaku, who we'll definitely get talking about later, Balbuena, Diop, Zabaleta, Rice, Obiang, Antonio, Diagana, Anderson, and finally, our bastard, Marko Arnautović.
Hey, you said his name right. Good job. You're always scared you're going to screw it up.
I've been practicing. Sounded perfect. I've been practicing, man. I hate sounding like a Muppet, so I wanted to say it on the podcast rather than be like, yeah, Marko, you wanted to say it right.
Yeah, well, I was watching you type in the outline, and you said Marko first, then deleted it, and then put Arnautović. I was watching, so that's funny. I was glad to hear you say it. Anyway, the lineup I had no issues with. Snodgrass was out suspended. The only surprise to me was that Noble was on the bench, because it seems like when he doesn't play, we don't win, and that's another game he doesn't play, and we don't win. I don't think anyone was expecting. I don't think he's going to make the difference anyway, don't get me wrong. But a holding midfield of Rice and Obiang. I was surprised. It seemed like we wanted to go for it from the beginning. I guess I did have one issue with the lineup, and that was Masuaku getting in over Cresswell. I don't think Masuaku's a left back, and we've been saying it time and time and time and time and time again. I don't think he's a left back, but maybe he wanted to go for pace in this game, which wouldn't make any sense for Zabaleta, but Zabaleta knows the guys, and he plays Antonio, which was a little bit surprising as well. So that's what made me think he was trying to get at them with some pace and get on the counterattack. So I guess that makes sense, and I didn't really have a ton of issues with the starting lineup. What did you think?
Well, I thought it was funny, as you just brought up the Masuaku thing. I guess we're going to get into it now just a little bit about him playing left back. Did you see what he put on Instagram replying to that comment? Something along the lines of, like, everybody knows my real position.
Yeah, which is what? I don't know what he's trying to get at.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, well, so what is it, brother? Are you going to tell us, or are you just going to insinuate?
Is it left wing or left mid or left wing back? I mean, I don't know.
It's probably like goalkeeper. No, I'm just kidding.
He just can't defend.
No, and it's a liability. I don't question his ability going forward. I mean, he makes slick moves, and he's very crafty on the touchline. I mean, how many times you see him dribble in space that you don't think there is any on the touchline? But at the same time, it's still a liability, especially when you're playing against the attacking force of Manchester City.
And he's not even doing the attacking stuff well. I mean,
no,
he's giving the ball away. He's not making the crosses that he needs to. He's not linking up the play. It's just, I loved him last season. I thought he wasn't a good left back, but under David Moyes, when he was played as a wing back, he looked much better. So it's frustrating.
He had that extra cover, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't know. I hope he can turn it around. Hopefully we can just start playing him in the left to midfield instead, because it's just not working out for him. And Creswell's not really living up to his bill either. So, well, hopefully January we can sort out a left back.
Going into the actual game, I think one of the advantages...
Real quick, hang on.
Yeah.
We didn't do... we texted our predictions. Do we want to throw out our predictions right now that we made that via text message?
Yes. What did you put?
I said 4-1 West Ham, and I almost, literally almost said 4-0, but I thought we would nick one. I thought Arnie would get one.
I hope you didn't say 4-0 West Ham.
No.
You said 4-0 West Ham. You meant to say 4-0 Man City.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I meant to say...
4-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got this all fucked up.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to cut that.
Listeners, just get it. I predicted 4-1 Manchester City, and I almost predicted 4-0 Manchester City, in which case I would have been bang on the money. Unfortunately, we didn't score, so I got the loss right, but I did not get the score.
All right, back on track there. I, on the other hand, figured we'd lose, but I like picking, like, I like to pick games where I think I can make a difference from Brawley and try to gain some points back. So I went 1-1 draw, thinking we would sit back, maybe nick one, then they get one late, and everybody's happy with the point. I was wrong. I was unfortunately wrong. Brawley was closer. However, I guess I will say I'm happy we didn't get that goal, because he would have nicked 3 points with his 4-1 prediction.
Yeah, so that, I believe that puts me 1 point ahead of you in the standings. It was 5-5.
Yeah, I got one back last week with the Burnley result. So that puts us at, that puts you at 6 and puts me at 5. So
correct.
You're on your way to a free kit for next top for next season, so we'll see.
Let's hope so. Anyway, go on to the game notes.
Yeah, one of the things I guess I'm happy about this game was on NBC Sports, so we didn't, all the American viewers, we didn't have to try to log into Gold and stream the game and be on laggy and buffering. But I guess one of the disadvantages of living in Harrisburg, I'm in a small little town, I guess. It's not little. But
I guess you were watching at home, right?
I was watching at home in bed. So I guess the advantage would be I can take notes because I'm not sitting there talking to people. I'm antisocial and lay by myself. So I guess my first note comes along. We were pushing forward, and I really thought we took it to them. You know, I think the lineup was attacking, and we didn't sit back. You know, when we beat Man United, I thought we were on the front for most of that entire game.
Well, at least for the first part of the game, I thought it was clear from the lineup, that we weren't going to sit back. I thought it looked like it was a counter-attacking lineup and we were really going to go after him. And we did. We could have scored within the first couple of minutes. It just seems like lack of our finishing right now is biting us in the butt. Even after the game, Pep Guardiola said that we could have easily nicked something from the game had we taken our opportunities and then not getting a little lucky with theirs. So, I don't think this is a result that people are really upset about at all. I think we really easily could have gotten something out of this game if Masuaku wasn't playing left back to start with. And if we just take two of those chances, two out of the five or six great chances that we created. Mm-hmm. And I think this also shows the patience that we will put forth with a manager who's willing to go for it. I think if we play under Sam Allardyce and we lose that game 1-0 and just sit back and soak up, I think people would have been upset with that. But I don't hear anyone really bitching about us losing 4-0 to the best team on the planet right now. But we really gave it a good go. And I think that's the thing we need to take away from this. I think if we play like this more often than not against good quality opposition, we're going to get something out of it. So I just want to throw that out there and say that I was happy with the way we played. Not happy with the result by any means, but I think this just shows the West Ham fans are more patient with managers who are willing to give us a little bit of that West Ham way back to us. So that's just kind of my overall thoughts. I didn't mean to just go from the first note and go into this whole long ramble, but I think I got my point across there.
I think one of the interesting tweets I saw this week after the game was, I don't remember where I saw it. One of the things they were talking about is chance creation isn't our problem this season. I feel like we've created lots of chances, but it's that final touch, that final end product that we're lacking that we can't seem to get over the line. I mean, we had a whole bunch of opportunities this Man City game, like you said, maybe five or six. And as I go through these game notes, they really only had these opportunities, but were so clinical with finishing it. Chance finishing had to be like almost 90-100%.
Yeah, I mean, Fabianski had to make a few good saves, but good teams take their chances. Bad teams tend to not. So, and I don't think we're a bad team, but I think they're just way too good. I mean, they played us off the park at times. Some of their passing was just absolutely unreal, silky smooth. But good teams make their own luck, and sure enough, their first goal was just pure luck. It was just 100% luck. And
yep, Sterling's cross was deflected and it dropped right to Silva. Clean finish, perfect spot, inside the six, and that was in the 11th minute. Fabianski really didn't have much help the first few goals because the second goal was also inside the 6-yard box. It felt like it was just too easy. Sané whipped the ball across the floor and Sterling tapped it in. And I think that might have been when I texted you getting all pissed off because I was like, man, every goal that they scored has been inside of our six box. And you're like, that's how Manchester City scores all their goals.
Mm-hmm. That is. They walk it in. That's pretty much all of their goals. You rarely see them score from like a shot from the outside of the area or a header even. I mean, it's all on the floor. It's all whipped across the face of goal and all tapped in. And they're just extremely good at it. That's what makes them so damn good. And, like, I captain Aguero in fantasy, and he doesn't even get one of these four fucking goals. So, I couldn't buy a break. I was like, come on, man. At least if you're going to score, at least make it Aguero.
The positive thing after that second goal, though, was I had written here, the next 4 minutes we were all over them. We had a nice two breaks. A few crosses whipped in by Anderson. Let's also point out Anderson's corners this game.
Oh, much, much better.
Much better. There were plenty of chances that were nicely whipped into the area for corner kicks.
And let's not forget to mention also, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the first two goals, arguably both, you could say, were Masuaku's fault.
Yeah.
The first one, I'm getting the goals mixed up in my head, but there was at least two of them, if not three of them, that you can blame on him. So I was furious with him.
Well, it was the first three, because the fourth one he wasn't on the pitch because Cresswell was on at half. But yeah, we were all over them. Anderson, Zabaleta, both put a few crosses in, and that shouldn't be still. We still wanted to have a go, and to me that was a positive. You know, we were down 2-0, 18 minutes in, and they were still pushing. They didn't be like, oh, well, game's over. But we had to defend better, and we didn't. Masuaku was done a third time. I wrote here, get him off the pitch. That was goal number three, all three inside the six. Sané just cut in and finished strong in the 33rd minute. And Masuaku really just had a tough game. Absolutely, absolutely rough one for him.
I kind of felt bad in a way, because clearly it's not his position, and I don't think he even wants to be playing at left back. So I think I had a little bit of sympathy for him, but it's just tough. I don't. It's just. But we gotta figure out the left back position. Pretty much, we have to figure it out because that's where we are the most wide open at right now, and we need to get it secured. And he cannot be playing like he's
a liability.
He's running around with a chicken with his head cut off. He's like turning the wrong way, tracking balls over his head, and he's doing like complete 360s. It's just unacceptable. And we're gonna really have to look at the left back position. If Cresswell's not the answer, we're gonna have to buy, or we have to buy at least a backup one. But I would like to see us splash some cash on a good left back.
If he's not a left back, how come we're always shoehorning players into outside backs? We had, remember when Antonio was playing right back for weeks? Well, I guess we don't want to remember that. And now we have Masuaku, who says he's not a left back. We'll see. Absolutely struggling. Cresswell came on at halftime, which also gave me hope, and that Pellegrini realized that he was the issue. You know, I mean, there's a whole plethora of issues, but the main one was Masuaku, and he took him off. And then, I mean, rest of the game, at 58th minute, Antonio was through, hit the post. I thought he was heat of the moment. I wrote here, oh, he's finished, absolutely finished, saying that he's terrible. But at the same time, you know, after breaking it down and after talking in our Liam group chat and talking with you, he really did improve from the past few games, but it's still not up to par.
Yeah, I thought he put in a shift much better in this game. We still need to – he needs to be able to finish the ball like he used to in the past. I thought that the ball that he hit the post on that you were referring to was actually a really good effort. He probably should be scoring, but he hit it with pace, and he hit it low and hard, which is what he needed to do. Just couldn't beat the post, so he was really unfortunate there. I thought he put in a really good shift, though. I thought his effort was up. He's not as pacey as he used to be, it seems like, but he was still sprinting for the 70-plus minutes that he played. So I do think he won a little bit of me back in this game. I still don't think it's good enough. I still think we probably should get money for him if we can in January, but it was good to see some positive signs of life from him.
And then last but not least, the 92nd minute, Sané's cross. Sané scored a cross from Gabriel Jesus, and he smashed a rocket. He pinged it into the bottom corner. And I wrote here, I just thought Manchester City are another level, which everybody knew. I don't think anybody was expecting a result. I picked draw because I wanted one, not one because I really thought it was. I don't have much complaints. I think I even said to you that was the best played 4-0 loss I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I think it's a
good way to sum it up.
I don't think we played horribly. I don't think we played well. But I guess my positive are that we attacked rather than just sat back. Yeah. If we finished chances that we created against Manchester City, then if we can create those against Newcastle, against Southampton, against Fulham, against Watford, and we can finish them, I think we have no issues. Well, we have issues, but nothing extremely concerning where I'm talking about the R word. I don't even want to say the R word on this podcast, because just I'm sick of people talking about it. You know, I think we're fine.
Yeah, I think the main reason for that is that no one's really thinking about it right now is there are four or five teams that are just absolutely terrible right now, and just struggling at the bottom of the table, which is great for us. Apart from Newcastle, really climbed their way up. They won today again. So they've won three in a row, which is something we haven't done in God knows how long. So they're Newcastle are hitting form just in time to play West Ham United, which seems about right. So
Huddersfield picked up their second straight result, I believe. Yep, that takes them up to 10. Palace picked up a draw against Manchester United. They're up to 9. Burnley lost. That keeps them at 9. Southampton lost to Fulham.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep, lost to Fulham.
3-2.
3-2, yeah, that game was crazy because that was Claudio Ranieri's first game for Fulham.
Yeah, and I wonder how much longer Mark Hughes is going to be in charge of Southampton.
I can't imagine much longer. They're all on eight at the
bottom.
Still
blows my mind that Mark Hughes is a manager employed in the Premier League.
Yeah.
God, I hate that prick.
It just doesn't make any sense. So let's finish our final thoughts about the game. Standout performers. I had three written down here that I thought we should chat about. The first one we briefly touched on, Antonio. Anything else to say about there other than really good job finally showing some life? I just want to congratulate him there.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
I thought Declan Rice deserved another shout-out, just another solid game. Really hope that they sort this contract situation out. I'm curious what is actually going on because we tend to always, I don't know, favor the side of the player. I'm curious what's going on with the other parties, like the owners and his agent. What's really going on there?
I think the agent has a lot to do with it. I think it's clear Declan Rice wants to stay, and I know X knows him very well, and X keeps reporting that he's happy, he wants to stay, but it sounds like his agent is just driving for more money. So from listening to some of the other podcasts as well, like Sean Whetstone and Nigel, more than just a podcast, I don't know why I was blanking on that, said that the agent is the sole problem right now and is driving for more money, and West Ham have made them a more than fair offer. So we'll see. I'm not worried. I really am not worried at all. I think they'll get it done. They'll find a way to find some middle ground and get it done. So I am not worried at all about Declan Rice at this moment in time.
And then I think the last person we had here was Masuaku, who stood out in a bad game, but I think we beat the bush hard enough there.
Yeah.
So we're gonna take.
I don't like bashing players at all.
No, neither do I.
I hope he turns it around. I don't think he listens to the show by any means. But you can clearly see that they see it on social media by him replying to on that Insta. Guy on Instagram. So they see the negative stuff, and I don't think it's. Sometimes they need to see it, and sometimes when you beat a dead horse too much, like you said, it can be toxic for a player. And the last thing that we should do as fans is try to tear players down, especially when they're short of confidence. So that's all I'll say on the Masuaku.
Yeah, I think if you ask anybody who listens to most of the podcasts and reads forums and stuff, that I would say that you and I are pretty positive compared to other people or other platforms, I'll say. But I just don't see what's necessary about always hating the team and being so negative. You might as well just not even watch if you can't find the positivities, you know. I look at West Ham for me as an escape to the real world almost when I'm with my friends or I'm watching at 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to think about work. I don't think about bills. I'm thinking about how much I love West Ham. So I don't need it to be another toxic place in my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's a nice way to get away from reality for an hour and 45 minutes. I totally agree.
Yeah, so not to get all sappy for you folks, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into our favorite section. Now we have a big one back today. The question and answer. The dilly, you gon' blow that advance. Let's see, the music's terrible and you don't know how to dance. Give you a couple years and won't nobody can hear your name. You really think you're on my level, boy, you don't have a chance. I'm in the city where the birds and Villanova the champ. So I be feeling like a winner while you're holding your hands. And I L up to your face while the city play my tape. And they got that shit on crank by the blow at the amps. Alright, I rap like I had a past life and came back like, hey, like me now. If I trap right, I can stack heights in my cash right to the sky clouds. And this fast life to the gaslight like crash flight house going down. This A.R.O.B. You don't know me, well, you know me now, and I'm out.
Now it's time for our favorite part of the show, is where we get to interact with our listeners on social media. Tony was kind enough to put out a tweet asking for some questions for the show, and we got a bunch of good questions this week, so I'm going to go ahead and get right into it. Our first one is from Pete the Hammer. His Twitter handle is @PDGHammer. He says, I always believe the season will be tough and one of transition, even more so with up to seven players having long-term injuries, in particular Lanzini. Although it's difficult after two horrendous seasons, do you agree with me that we should all be patient with Pellegrini? So, Tony, should we keep the faith in Pellegrini, or is it time to kind of start hitting the panic button?
Oh, absolutely. We should be patient. I mean, think about for a second. If you look at where we're at in the table after this Man City loss, and we're sitting 14th because Newcastle got a result today, and we're on 12 points. You know what? Looking at the bottom table, you know, we're 4 points off the R word. But in reality, for as bad as we played, we're still sitting 14th, okay, folks? And then on top of that, we get a result in the next 2 or 3 weeks, looking at our upcoming matches that we'll get into a later question. We really have no excuse to not be picking up some points here, and I can't see us sneaking back into the 10 through 12 range and being comfortable and hopefully cracking on to a big, big push in, for Europe next season. Considering if we plug some holes in the January and the summer, half our team is injured. I'm not worried. But as I said earlier in the podcast, I don't sit around and mope about West Ham because that'll just ruin my days. I follow West Ham because I try to find the positives in life. So I'm going to be Mr. Positive, and I have no issues with what Pellegrini's done so far, other than maybe playing Masuaku at left back, and does he really have an option?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you here. I would like to argue with you more often, but this is not one of those times. I think there is no panic right now whatsoever. Pellegrini is a long-term project. It's going to take some time to get us back up there and just away from the relegation zone consistently, and that's what I think our next target is, just not be anywhere near that relegation zone. So I am not worried in the slightest at the moment, and I think fans definitely need to be patient. And I think we have been. I haven't seen any people really call for Pellegrini's sacking. So I just think we need to give him some time till the end of the season. As long as we stay away from the relegation zone, I'll say that's a positive end of the season.
It's funny how people do have mentioned that we should try and disagree more. Because it makes good podcasting. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm not going to fake disagree. You know, we're typically like-minded when it comes to the manager. I don't think we really argued much about Moyes, did we?
Nah, I mean we've argued about the occasional thing, but more often than not, we agree with each other. So maybe we need to get a third co-host on here, someone to liven up the show. Yeah,
someone who we just hate all the time. Yeah. Next question is from Jeremiah, @JCarson_1755. Shout out Green Street and their podcast. How many points do you think we'll get out of the next 7 matches? All winnable in my opinion, but doubt we get 21 points. I'm going to change his question though to you, and I'm going to say only the next 6, because the next 6 would then take us into half a season. Rather than saying 7, which will put us on 20 games, one over. So the next 6 games are Newcastle this Saturday away, Cardiff at home, Palace at home, Fulham away, Watford home, Southampton away. Of those 6, maximum 18, how many points do we get in Brawley?
How many points do I think we'll get? Well, I would like to see us get at least 12, but I don't know if that's realistic, because it's always the games that we think we're going to win, we never do. I think we'll probably get somewhere. Oh God, it's so tough. I hate these questions. Maybe I would like to see us win 3 of them at least, and maybe pick up a draw. So I would say 10 points. I think we're probably going to get out of the 6 games. So 3 wins, a draw, and 2 defeats. I think that I'd be happy with that.
I'm a knock on wood here. Knocking on wood here, because I do not see us losing one of the next 6. A bold prediction.
I hope you're right.
I think we go 6 on the run, unbeaten.
6 wins in a row?
No. Unbeaten.
Okay.
I have us winning at Newcastle, beating Cardiff, so that's 6. Draw against Palace, draw against Fulham, so that's 8. Win against Watford, win against Southampton away. So that's 14 points.
Oh, that...
Did I do my math right? Yeah.
Probably. I wasn't keeping 14, track, probably.
6, 3, 6, 7, 8, 11, 14 of 18 of the next 6 games. Bold prediction. I know it's positive. People are going to call me deluded. I don't give a fuck. I genuinely do believe that. I think the toughest game is going to be Watford, but and the reason I don't, I think we win that game is we're at home. So I think we beat Newcastle. Cardiff, I see us running over. I even hate saying that, speaking into existence. I think Palace are going to give us a tough one. Kouyaté on his return. Fulham away, I can see that just being a weird bugger game. Watford at home, we win, and I think Southampton are really struggling, and we win that on the road. I see 14 points here.
I really hope you're right, but this is always, this time and time again, the games that West Ham should be winning, we never, ever, ever do.
We're going to take and 4 points.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's what makes life of a West Ham fan so... it's just crazy because we're the most unpredictable team in the league. We really are. Out of the first, how many games have we played this season now?
13.
We played 13 games, and I've gotten our score correct three times. I've gotten the result correct,
three four times.
And then I've gotten the score line right once. So, I mean, it's just impossible to predict. And that's what makes life as a West Ham fan so crazy. And that's what makes it so good, too, at the same time. I mean, I can't imagine you go into, like, the life of a Man City or Manchester United or Spurs fan,
so
someone like that.
Boring.
And you just expect to win every single game. And more often than not, you do. So it's just I love being a West Ham fan, and it's for one of those reasons. So anyway, we'll continue on here. Our next question here is from Scott Davis. His Twitter handle is at Denver West Ham. And he says, we have 8 winnable matches. If we lost half of them, what are your response to the players as a whole? So I guess he's asking what – we're not really criticizing the manager or the owners here. We're just going for strictly for the players. What do you think?
Well, looking at the 6 that I ran through – the 7th and 8th that I didn't mention that would take us into the second half of the season would be Burnley away and Brighton at home, okay? So, again, 8 winnable matches. I'm going to stick with my, for the 6th, the 14 points. To his scenario, if we lost half, I think the players have some real questions about themselves. Because I look at our squad, and I just don't see a bad side there. I really don't. Again, rosy colored, but I just really do not see a bad side. You know, Diagana has been playing very well. Marco is playing well at striker. And Anderson has picked it up. You know, Antonio is a question mark where I see a player that could change. If you put somebody else there, could be a game changer. You know, a player like Lanzini would help. You know, that would, someone who can create, because all these players, can you imagine Lanzini pinging through balls to Anderson running wide or Arnautovic running through the middle or even Antonio, because we're relying on some of these winger guys to create stuff when they're not creators. They're good at running through and making curling runs. So I think we're really missing that type of player. Noble's not that player. Declan Rice isn't that player. Obiang's not that player. The closest to that player is Diagana and his clever abilities to take players on and try interesting moves. So not to keep going. I think the players need to ask themselves, what are they missing and what do they need to do to come together? Because they are better than 17. Than at least 3 of these teams, and avoiding the R word.
Yeah, 8 winnable games, so he's saying we take 12 points out of a possible 24. I wouldn't be – if we won those other 4 games, so we went 4 – so I'm sorry. Those potentially could be draws too. So in my scenario, I'm thinking if we get 4 wins and 4 defeats, I wouldn't hate that too much, although these are games we should be winning. Mm-hmm. 12 points would go a long way this season. I'd be upset with the players, and it would depend on the performances. A lot of this is what if this, what if that, and I don't like doing that a whole lot. So I mean, if we won 4 and lost 4, I would think the players would need to look at themselves a little bit, but I wouldn't be panicking. So I don't know. I'd be indifferent on it, really. I wouldn't be as pissed off as you, probably.
The next question is from the Green Street Hammers. And shout out to their podcast. Okay, here we go. Do you think Pellegrini will stick with his 4-3-3 formation this season? Or will the January transfer window allow for him to change the team to his usual 4-2-2-2 formation? What do you think they will do in January? Aside from, we'll skip the whole left back because that's a given. What do you think we improve on, and where do you think we go formation-wise?
It depends on who we sell. If we sell Chicharito, we need a striker. We do have Andy Carroll coming back. People forget. Hey. He gets a timely return against his old Newcastle team that he loves very much. I do know he loves Newcastle. I think it's so tough to say. Formation wise, I have no idea what he's going to do. I have absolutely no idea. Logically, if Andy Carroll's fit, he's going to want to play him. We also have Chicharito, we have Arnautovic, and we have Lucas Perez. So that would make you think that he's going to want to try to play two up top, probably. I would love to see Andy Carroll and Chicharito play together. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see them get some more game time together because last season it was a few and far between. And Arnie's going to be Arnie as long as he's healthy. So I don't know who we're going to bring in. I have no idea. Obviously, you said we need to skip the left-back debate, but a left-back is priority number one. Maybe a right-back. I don't know. Fredericks hasn't even been getting in the team. I don't know. Oh, he's out injured, though.
No, he's out for, like 3 or 4 months now.
I forgot that he's injured, yeah. So maybe a right-back if he's out injured for a while, and maybe another forward depending on who we sell. But
Roger Johnson.
Yeah, the relegator, Roger Johnson.
So what do you think about a 4-2-2-2 with Carroll and Arnautovic up top? Because yeah. I think another problem is Arnautovic is taking a beating up there. You need somebody like Andy Carroll who can just muscle some guys. And Marko Arnautovic is not that guy because he's going to turn around and sock somebody in the face.
Yeah, and I can tell you that defenders will want no part of dealing with both Andy Carroll and Marko Arnautovic.
It'll be a thug city.
I think that's defenders' worst nightmare. But yes, continue.
Right, and he'll be able to knock balls down and play on to Arnautovic rather than him having to create. So Carroll, Arnautovic up top. On the outside left, you have Anderson. Outside right, Diangana. In the middle, Rice and either Noble or Obiang. And then the
or back... Wilshere.
Right, or Wilshere. And then the back four of new left back, Balbuena, Diop, Zabaleta, Fabianski is what I'm thinking. And I think that would be pretty exciting to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I would love that lineup. And hopefully Lanzini will get to come back at some point too and get to play. So yeah, I would like to see us play with two forwards. I'd love that. That's traditionally what Pellegrini has done over the years. So I would love to see us play two strikers up top. I'd love that.
And then I guess the better squads, you can take one of them strikers and put in another defensive midfielder to clog the middle. So
yeah, definitely. The next question we have here is from Paul Schofield. His Twitter handle is at Skoda1979. And he asks, Noble or Obiang with Declan Rice for Newcastle away? So we're leaving Declan Rice in the lineup. Who are you pairing alongside him? And we could even throw Wilshere into that topic, into that discussion. So would you say Wilshere, Noble, or Obiang alongside Declan?
I also want to give Paul a shout because great take when he says Declan Rice is automatically in. Declan Rice is probably one of the first people on the team sheet for me.
Totally agree.
So Noble, Obiang, I'm going Noble. I'm a big Mark Noble fan, always will be. I have no problem criticizing him, but I really have not much bad to say. You know, everyone's like, oh, Mark Noble gets only love because he's a West Ham boy. Okay, so what? So what? He's been West Ham through and through for his entire career. And maybe, does he start on any other team in the league? I don't know. Probably maybe only one or two others. But the difference in the way that the team plays without him, I don't think that there's that extra heart or that extra motivation. I think that he brings that to the team that lacks when he's out. So maybe not the skill is always what's needed. It's that extra motivator to get up the player's ass if they're not up to par. So I'm going Noble, by the way. Noble.
Another topic on which we agree, because I would also put Mark Noble in the lineup. We don't win when he's out of the lineup. We just don't ever win games when he's not playing. And a game like Newcastle away, where you know it's going to be physical, it's going to be gritty, and I think you need a guy like Mark Noble in the lineup. So I'm going Mark Noble all day long, and it's not even really close. Obiang had a bit of a stinker against Man City as well. So
all right, I'm going to go with Mark Noble. Fully fit Wilshere or Mark Noble?
I'm going to go with Jack Wilshere.
I think we are going to disagree now, because I'm still going with Noble, man.
Jack Wilshere, I think, was playing with an injury this whole time, and I think that's why his performances were not very good. So I have no, like, nothing to back that up at all. I just think that he was playing with a little injury, and that was hampering him a bit, and that's why we didn't get to see the best of him. I think now that he's going to be a comeback fit, I would pick Wilshere over Mark Noble. Mm. And it would depend on what position, really, too, because I'd like to push Wilshere a bit higher up the pitch, whereas Noble would stay back a bit further. But if I had to pick between the two, I would go with Jack Wilshere.
I think in the 4-2-2-2, I'm still picking Noble. I would be really concerned with with how open the field would be. If we have two center mids, I would like them to sit back more and let that front four do some creating. But at the same time, then it goes to the point I just made earlier, is, all right, well, someone needs to create for those guys, where I guess then Diagana would shift in a bit when he gets the ball and tries to open it up for Anderson, Carroll, or Arnautovic. So I think I'm still going Noble, but, well, I would like to see Jack Wilshere play to his full potential. If we saw his full potential, then no. But do you think he has more to offer?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I thought he was injured the whole time. I think we have not seen the best out of Jack Wilshere, and I think we will get to see it coming up here in this next stretch of Christmas fixtures, because the fixtures come fast. Really. Yeah, they do. So I think we will, and I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong that have already written him off.
All right, so we're going to keep busting through this here. Forever Bolin at Forever Bolin. If you were a footballer, what would your nickname be?
God, I don't even know where to begin. So when I played, I was a goalkeeper. I didn't like running. I didn't like I was always out of shape. I have no idea what our friends and our friend circles call me the Brawler. So I kind of like that nickname. It makes me sound pretty tough and badass, but we're going to go with Brawler then, I guess, or Fat Ass, one of the two.
I'm not going to go with what my nickname is, so I have to think of something else. I don't know. I'm just probably going to be Fat Tits or something like that. I wouldn't want it to be that, but I could see myself being like Donkey, like Andy Carroll, just no grace, no nothing. I like playing football, but I've actually been more into cricket lately. For actually playing, I'm pretty piss poor at both. Next question is from David. Oh, Dan. Oh, God. I'm not even going to try and say this. Dan.
Vasiliu.
Oh, I was going to say Vaseline and just as a joke. All right, Dan. What is the best way to fix this defense? Well, I think we obviously know what that is. Do you have any non-obvious answers other than Masuaku at left back?
No, I would say we need to purchase a left back and start playing Crespo there as a start. But I think that's the first way, and then just get the play in front of them to be a little better and keep the attacking. I think if we can get the attack going more frequently,
they'll have less,
relieve some pressure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the main issue at this point is the left back position.
I would like point out that I didn't realize we weren't finished. I do want to quickly point out, though, that Zabaleta is getting up there at age, but he hasn't really showed it. I thought he's played very well this season, but some point he's going to crack. Love the guy. Sorry, man. At some point he's going to drop off. Hopefully not another season or two, but I think that will be need to be addressed in the near future.
Yeah, well, I think the thought of the Frederick signing was that he would replace Zabaleta, so hopefully Frederick's will come good here. And then you have that bridge between, and I can't think of anyone better to learn from than a guy like Pablo Zabaleta, who's won the league title, however many times, two times, won like three FA Cups, two League Cups. I mean, played in the Champions League. I mean, the list goes on and on. So I can't think of a better mentor for Ryan Fredericks than Zabaleta. So, the right back position will need to be addressed in the near future. There's talks that Zabaleta will retire at the end of the season, and which I hope isn't true, because I think we can offer him a one-year extension, which he can turn down or not, but we'll see. The next question here, A.G. Harris sent in two questions. The first one is, he says, I don't know if y'all talked about it, but do you know the bassist and founder of Iron Maiden, Steve Harris, trained for West Ham Youth and is a huge fan of the club, rocking the crest on his bass? I did know this. We talked about it a little bit before the show started. We both don't listen to Iron Maiden a whole lot. I know one song.
Which one was yours again?
Mine was Run to the Hills, and only because it was on the game Rock Band or Guitar Hero. I can't remember which one, but it was really catchy, and I liked it. And you knew one song, too. What was it?
Yeah, it was Fear of the Dark, because back when I was – oh, God, when I was in middle school, I was obsessed with PAOK in Greece, and I thought the whole pyrotechnics and just psychopath fandom was the coolest thing. Now I'd much rather sit in away and in England and feel that carnage than all that fire bullshit that's out in Eastern Europe. But yeah, I was obsessed with PAOK, and they had this sick highlight video to the song Fear of the Dark, and I thought it was really cool.
Gotcha.
What was the second question?
Yeah, it was what are the best grounds you have visited, and what are the top of the list to visit? So what is your favorite, some of the best grounds you've been to, and make kind of a list of your favorite away grounds, non-West Ham grounds.
My favorite, okay, I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but the coolest away ground I was at was Cheltenham away in the cup, where we only had about, oh, good God, maybe only 900 away fans. It was one of the coolest things. The ground was super tiny. That ground couldn't have more than 4,000 or 5,000 seats, maybe a little bit more, but even our allocation was absolutely tiny. I guess my favorite Premier League ground, I might get some shtick for saying this, but I think my favorite game I was at is, and I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to say Everton away. My favorite ground that I was at, though, was Spurs away. I thought that was really cool. Not because of the actual stadium, but because of the entire atmosphere surrounding the game. It was a 5:30 kickoff, the one I was at. So that would be the 12:30 game here on the East Coast. So think about West Ham fans and Spurs fans getting boozed up all day, an extra 2.5 hours of drinking, 5:30 kickoff. Walking to the ground from Seven Sisters was absolutely petrifying. Not for real, but it was a little nerve-wracking, I'll say. Police vans everywhere, sirens going up and down the street, police on horses. I thought it was pretty cool. So my top would be the coolest would be Cheltenham away. My favorite would be Spurs away, even though we lost because of Nordvite. Ugh. Anyway, okay, give me your favorite and give me your coolest.
Okay, so I have been to probably 6 or 7 West Ham games now. I'm just going to go ahead my favorite away memory was Stoke away last season.
That was fun.
I've said it a million times on the show.
We were
but when
at
Arnie...
that one together.
Yeah, when Arnie scored, it was absolute mayhem, and we were giving it to the Stoke fans. I absolutely loved it. So just for my favorite memory of an away ground was Stoke. The ground itself was nothing special. I love that it's still an old-style stadium with 4 stands on each side. I love that. But if I had to rank my 3 favorite grounds that I've been to, I would say number 1 at the top of the list, and it wasn't even a West Ham game that I went to, but St. James Park was unreal. I loved Newcastle. I thought the fans were amazing. I think it's a must. I haven't been there on an away day, but I think It's one that I have to do before I die is Newcastle away, even though they stick you up in the heavens. I hate that climb to the top of the stairs. But Newcastle is my favorite ground away from home. Two, I would say it's a really close to was Bournemouth. I went to Bournemouth away last season, and those tickets are really hard to come by. I was really glad that you hooked me up with your ticket because I don't know that I would be able to get one otherwise. It's so tiny. Like, you know, it's tiny when you go there, but you go in there and they pack you into these tiny doors, and there's only about 700 to 900 West Ham fans is the allocation. And it was unreal. I absolutely loved that stadium. We should have won that game, by the way, if it was not for Bobby Madley stealing the points away from us, who's no longer officiating in the Premier League. So fuck you, Bobby Madley. And then my number three favorite away ground that I've been to was the old White Hart Lane, which no one will be able to go to anymore. The old White Hart Lane I loved. It was another game we lost 4-1. Lanzini scored real late. But it was you're spot on when you get off the train at Seven Sisters.
It's the walk in the gauntlet.
Yeah, you don't realize how far you have to walk. Like they were like, yeah, it's a pretty long haul from the train station. I'm like, yeah, it's probably like 10 blocks, like nothing, no big deal. But I mean, it's like a 2 mile walk down this narrow street. And you go past all these pubs and
the punk Spurs fans only giving it the large when they have cops around them.
Yeah, and then you turn right down back where the away fans sit, and then they see you get in behind the line of police, and they start tossing shit at you. Just typical punk Spurs. Ass. But yeah, so yeah, my top three: Newcastle, Bournemouth, and the old Spurs ground. I would say were my three favorites.
And I just looked on my ground hopper, by the way. I haven't updated it lately, but it says, which I think I might be at two or three more, but right now it says I'm at 16 grounds in England, and I think of my 92, I'm at 15 because Orient drops out. And one other quick note, Cheltenham's ground only holds 7,000. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Crazy. Since we're talking about Groundhopper, I just pulled mine up. I've got 25 grounds. And
in England, or in general,
that's in general. In England, I am at 13.
I'm at 26 in general, but I swear I have more. I'm gonna sit and do that while I edit the podcast.
Yeah, you should. It's fun. You need to add me on Groundhopper too, by the way.
Okay, we'll do that anyway. If anyone wants to know, by the way, Groundhopper, give it a shout. It's a really cool app that tracks every single stadium you've been to around the world, and I'm talking like they have every stadium. Even, for example, the Harrisburg City Islanders, which is now Penn FC, which is now also taking a year's sabbatical, played at a baseball field, and they have it. So they literally have everything. Dave LaPointe, and that's Dave _ LaPointe with a E, says, explain Mikel Antonio and his total lack of finishing ability, please, and thank you. What are your thoughts on Mikel Antonio? Do you think we kind of touched on him earlier, but do you think that he improves, or do you think he's finished?
Yeah, I think it's probably time to move him on in January if you can get enough cash for him. I like him. I think he's a really good locker room guy. You can see all the videos of all the banter and stuff. Mikel Antonio's usually at the forefront of that. But he just is lacking all sorts of confidence right now. I think if he gets a goal, he was really good in preseason too. So I was surprised he had such a poor start to the season. I think we still have a decent player there. He just needs to get some confidence and build up his fitness and get some of that speed back, and I think he'll be fine. But right now he just can't finish. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn right now, and I feel bad for him. But if we can move him on in January, I think we need to sell him. The next question we're going to go into here is from Ira Alani Fouquet, and the Twitter handle is @Alani_Fouquet. He or she, I'm not sure if it's a guy or a girl, asks.
Says husband, father of two.
Oh, husband. I haven't clicked on the profile, so it is a he, so my apologies. He says, tips for Yanks planning to travel to a match in the near future. What places to check out for West Ham history, things like that, things where to purchase good seats and a decent fair price, what to avoid and expect. And then the second part of the question was, how do you feel about Chicharito? Is it time for him to go, or does he need to be allowed to improve himself? So go ahead and answer the first part of that question, Tony.
Yeah, so we've gotten a few of those emails because people are listening to the pod and like, oh, I want to go over too. Well, they probably want to go over before listening to the pod, but hear us talking about our experiences and ask for advice, which, again, I do love giving advice and helping people find tickets. Like I said, I have two tickets, so if anyone ever needs, let me know, because I obviously live in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and not the United Kingdom. But anyway, tips for Yanks planning to travel over. Is go on Twitter is my number one advice, and you'll meet a whole bunch of people. You got to find the good ones, of people just like you who either went over as well, or British or English fans who want to meet American fans from around the world. It's not even American fans. For example, our group has a guy from France. You know, three or four other people from America. There's a San Diego lady, Maureen, who goes over, who uses my tickets. You know, there's people from all around the world that go to see West Ham, and there's a whole bunch of English fans that just welcome them in with open arms. I mean, PDG Hammer, I think he goes drinking with Scott Davis when he goes over. You know, there's a whole bunch of people who are – I really appreciate the openness – that when fans embrace international fans rather than acting stuck up and saying, oh, Americans don't know soccer or shit like that. You know, I find that annoying. The banter gets old, but that's not here nor there. But yeah, so my advice would be to go on Twitter and see if anybody will meet you for a drink. You'll find out which pubs people go to. You can buy a membership to the Supporters Club. The Carpenter's Arms is a big popular spot, you know, so you'll find a spot. Find somebody who will have a drink with you, sing some songs, meet people, talk about experiences, and just enjoy the British way.
What would you say is the best way to get tickets? Like, let's say you can't help them out for this game. Is there a good way to go about buying tickets? Because for me, I have always bought tickets either from you or our good friend Andy, and I've never had to actually get a Claret membership or anything like that. Would you have any recommendations for people wanting to buy tickets who are from America and going over there for the first time?
If it's not a big game, my advice would just be buy the Claret membership and get a ticket on there, because they'll email it to you, or you can pick it up at Will Call, no drama, no nothing. Somebody who's always been reliable to me would be Baz. I know he retweets a lot. He's always helped me out, and I appreciate what he's done for me, helping me get rid of some of my away tickets.
That's Baz Cox, anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, he's quite prominent on West Ham Twitter, so I'm sure you have seen the work that he's done with Isla, and I can finally pronounce her name right. Yeah, so those would be my suggestions, but if it's a tough game that you're trying to get an away game to, just scroll through Twitter's people typically selling tickets. But if you want tickets to a home game and it's not a big game, I would get the Claret membership and purchase that way. Or if you have a Claret membership, you can get your season tickets forwarded to you from people if they are selling season tickets. For example, yep. Maureen, who uses my tickets, she has a Claret membership, and I don't have to give her my cards. I don't have to do anything other than just forward her the ticket through the website, and she printed it out at home, no problem. So that would be my advice to people.
Good advice. I like that. I think this is a good tool for people that want to do that, so I think it's good that you gave that advice. For me, what tips I would have is I would say pick out well in advance the games you want to go for, but make sure your travel schedule is flexible, especially if it's a game that could get changed. And any game is eligible to get changed for Sky. But for me, I wanted to go to Spurs away last season, and Sky moved it, and I ended up not being able to go. So I would just say tip number one is be wary that these games could change time and date, and you might get screwed over. And I've seen – I can't remember – but. Yeah, I've seen multiple people get screwed over too. Yeah, there was a game that got moved. I can't remember what game it was, but yeah, Sky moved it and he wasn't able to go. He didn't buy tickets yet, luckily. My second tip would be along the same lines as yours, is go on Twitter. You never know who you're going to meet. You could meet friends that you'll know for the rest of your life, like I did, like you did. Go on Twitter, just engage with people. You'd be surprised how warm and receptive some of the people are, just like you said. And I've met lifelong friends that I'll never forget through just going on Twitter, just throwing a tweet out there saying, hey, can anyone get me tickets for the Sunderland away game? And it's turned into a great friendship, and I never would have met you if it wasn't for that either. So go on social media, just throw out some feelers. You might get nothing back, but you could get some really helpful stuff sent back to you. Three, go to the pubs. Go experience what life is like in the pubs before the game. It's so much fun. The West Ham Way pre-match events, which I haven't been able to go to, I would say definitely do that, even though, I mean, it's something that I really want to do. But I've heard nothing but amazing things. Or go to the supporters club, like you said. Go to the supporters club. Great people in there. Go to any of the pubs beforehand, and go drink before away games too. Go find the away pub and go in there and drink with them. Another tip that I would say, something that I noticed, I like to leave the pub a little earlier than most of the general population does.
Yeah, good idea.
I like going to watch warm-ups. When you get in there just in time for kickoff, it feels like you miss. I don't know. When I go to games here, I go and watch warm-ups. That's what I like to do. So when I'm over there,
the atmosphere kind of builds up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I like going in there early. So if you can get in there a little earlier, that's what I like to do anyway. But places to check out, do a London Stadium tour if you can.
London Transportation Museum. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. I just had to throw it. It's my favorite place. I know. I just love it. Anyway.
Go do a London Stadium tour and go to Wembley and go check out the Bobby Moore statue.
Yep.
And then also go get off at Upton Park Station, walk up Green Street, and go see the statue of the 66 boys up at what are the roads that connect Green Street and Barking Road? I think, I don't know. I should know, but I don't. My apologies. But you can go see the Boys of 66 statue, which is really cool that I think you should do. Apart from that, do your own thing. Just enjoy your time. Have a wonderful trip and just be safe. Don't do anything stupid. But I think you'd be surprised how friendly people are on Twitter, like Tony said. So that's what I would really do, is look on social media first. As for the second part of the question, the Chicharito situation, do you think it's time to move Chicharito on, or should he stay at the club for the remainder of the season?
I think he's got to go. I'm not interested in what he has to offer anymore. We don't play the style for him. I don't think it's his fault. I don't think he's a horrible player. I don't think that he's been classed this season, and I don't think we've put him in a position to succeed. So if we were to change our formation and play him and Carroll up top, or play a way that somebody can knock balls onto him, Hernandez is not going to run players down. And I don't think that's the kind of football that we're used to. For me, I like watching West Ham because it's guys who are going to give 100%, dripping sweat, cramped up, sick to their stomach, running around in circles. You know, that's the kind of football I like watching, you know. Hernandez isn't going to do that. That's not the player he is. He's going to get a scrappy ball inside the six and tap it in. He's going to take a header off somebody's misfortune and just bop it in. He's going to hit it off the crossbar and knock it in. He's not going to run through six guys and dribble. He's a scrappy Chris Wondolowski for any of our MLS listeners, you know. He's not a, he's not going to run down the pitch and score like Marko Nanović.
We're running short on time, so I'll just keep this quick. If he wants to go, I say let him go. I think he's a really good squad player to have. I think he's a really good striker to come off the bench. He just hasn't lived up to what we hoped he would. And you're right, the system doesn't suit him. So
That is it for our Q&A section. That is one of our favorites. Keep the questions coming next week. It makes it so much easier to do this podcast when we talk about things that you want to talk about. It gives us a whole nother way, different perspectives. But we are going to kick it now into our interview with Tony, who is a Newcastle fan. I'm going to go by Anthony in this interview. He's going to go by Tony. He's from St. Louis. He's pals with Brawley. And he's going to do our Newcastle away preview with us for a whole new perspective. So stay tuned.
And now we'd like to welcome in a very special guest to the American West Ham podcast. He's a Newcastle United supporter, originally from Chicago, Illinois, currently residing in St. Louis, Missouri. A good friend of mine, it's Tony Gentile. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing well, Brawley. Thanks for having me on.
We were really glad to have you. We don't get to talk as much as we like to. You're really busy with work, and I got to see you at my wedding, which was really nice. I'm sorry I didn't get to spend more time with you at the wedding. I felt bad. I wanted to come over to you guys' table more than I should have. But anyway, it's not my wedding podcast. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
A little disclaimer for this conversation. Since both of the people that I'm talking to right now, names are Tony. Tony Clark, my co-host. We're going to go with Anthony.
Anthony on the mic.
We're gonna go with Anthony. You've never heard him. We've never called him Anthony before. It's really weird, so I'm gonna have to get used to it. But for the sake of this interview, we're gonna go with Tony Clark as Anthony. So,
Is
there anything you want to start off this interview with?
Yeah. So I guess we'll start off asking Tony, what got you into Newcastle? What made you a Newcastle fan? I think that's the easiest starter for our listeners.
So I guess it goes back now, about six years. I was studying at Southern Illinois Edwardsville where I met Brawley.
What up? Go Cougars.
Yeah, go Cougars. And, we lived by the international housing on campus, and my roommate and I, we play FIFA together and stuff. And, So we followed the Premier League, but we didn't really have a team. Like, we used to follow certain teams, but then we just, you know, we were like, oh, let's just kind of watch and see, you know, somebody changes. And, it was the first weekend of college, and my friend who lived in the international housing, Insik from South Korea, brought over this guy, and, he was wearing this, cricket. And, we're like, well, that's different. We've never seen that before. So he comes over. Now he's from a town called Consett outside of Newcastle. And so that was the first day. And then every day after that, he was either wearing a Newcastle top or some kind of cricket shirt. So,
I love that because I'm super into cricket right now. I've been following it nonstop, watching the England test matches. So shout out to the England cricket team.
Oh yeah, yeah. So Dave's got a his name's Dave. Dave Walker, and he's a big cricket guy, and he's got a cricket. He's got a tattoo of a batsman on his calf.
Nice.
So
oh, that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. Dave's all about the cricket, and
so did he pretty much he got you to not convert, but he, you pretty much. That was a really good reason to become a Newcastle fan. Did he take you to watch games at a pub or anything? Or how'd that work?
So I kind of knew about Newcastle because they had an Italian player named Davide Santon. I don't know if he's still playing, and I think he's playing at Roma now. But that was like the only guy I knew, and I'm like, oh, I know who Newcastle is. They have Santon, and it kind of because we knew somebody from there. We're like, well, this is like. You know, kind of legit now, you know, somebody from there. And that was kind of how we got started. We'd go with him to the Tiggin Irish pub in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And, back in the Fox soccer days when they were on that, we'd try to find a game and go there and watch with him and, just kind of have him have his English breakfast with the beans and toast.
Oh yeah.
And, that was kind of got how that all got started. And, his mom came to Chicago in October that year and brought me a long sleeve Davide Santon top. And that's kind of how it all went from there. And
yeah.
I went with Andler 2 years ago and we went to a two championship games, not Premier League championship games.
So, was that your first trip over there to see them?
Yeah.
And when was that?
For, Tony, for that was 2016 in the championship.
Okay, and so you, how many games did you go to? Tell us about that. What two games did you go to? What were the results? How was it? Tell us.
My first game was at St. James Park. It was a Friday night match. Nottingham Forest at home, and they had Lord Bettner.
Oh yeah,
and he scored. But we won 2-1, and I was gonna bet that we were gonna win 2-1, but I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do that. And sure enough, we won 2-1, and my friend won like 40 quid. And then we did Blackburn away, and that was probably the coldest I've ever been watching a sporting event. And I've played hockey my whole life, so we lost 1-0, but we chanted Rafa's name and chanted at the Blackburn supporters for nobody being there, and. Even though their owners are, you know, pretty bad too. So
yeah,
that's the pot calling the kettle black there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have a bad owner, and they have even worse owners. So it was still fun though doing an away day. It was amazing being with 7,000 people and screaming and chanting, and you know, it was an experience I still talk about it to this day.
Yeah. So before that, I know. I got to go on a little trip with you. We went up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, back, I don't even know what year that was. It was probably like 2014 or 15 when we saw Newcastle play Atlas in the Mexican team up at Miller Park. Like the most random place
that's
you could put two teams. And we went up, we got to watch the Newcastle training. We actually set up at their training camp. Since I was like – neutral in this situation, Tony and our friend Andler wanted to get autographs on their shirts and stuff, and there was a big Toon Army St. Louis flag that I had the guys come over and autograph, the Newcastle players. And that was who was the manager then? Steve McLaren.
It was Steve McLaren. That was 2015.
Yeah, I actually talked to McLaren for a minute, which is one of the weirdest things ever, and that whole trip was so much fun. I just thought I'd mention it to the fans, just some weird American preseason tour fixtures that you see, and we got to go to one of them. So a little bit bizarre being played on a baseball field, but we had a good time, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. I told Colaccini I want curly hair, too.
Yeah, you did. I remember that.
That was the highlight. I was like, Cola, I want curly hair, too. So I was pretty happy about that.
So anyway, we'll get back into the current situation. I think you told me already, but you did not get to watch the game today, did you?
No, I was at work, but I was following online on the Premier League's live blog, and I was silently screaming and you know, shaking my fist in the air at work and on the computer. So I couldn't believe we got an own goal. I think it was the fastest goal we've scored away since Sunderland in 2012.
Johan Kabay and against Sunderland. Johan Kabay. For those that don't know, today, Monday, we're recording this at 9 p.m. Central Time on a Monday. Newcastle played away at Burnley and 1-2-1. That's their third consecutive win. Mm. Must be nice. I don't know what that's like. So they're coming into form just in time to play West Ham.
Perfect time to play West Ham.
So, yeah, it's a good result for Newcastle. I like seeing them do well. I definitely hope you guys stay away from the relegation zone, because Newcastle belong in the Premier League. They really do. So who – I guess we'll kind of merge into the owner situation I wanted to briefly talk to you about, because up until this season, our owners have been under much scrutiny, and some would say still are under scrutiny. What's kind of the general feeling about Mike Ashley at the moment? I know this three-game winning streak probably masks a lot of problems. And once another losing streak hits, it'll probably be brought to the forefront. But just kind of give me the overall vibe around Newcastle at the moment surrounding Mike Ashley. Will he sell? Does he have anyone lined up? What's the kind of the deal there?
I'd say that as far as the owners, like we share similar hate at times, and I think it's, you know, from a business perspective, He looks at Rafa. He's like, "Oh, I can spend as little money as, you know, £10 million, and, you know, sign a bunch of defenders on a free, and, you know, the league minimum, as you would say here, and he's just still getting by." And I don't think he has any intentions of selling unless they go down, which he'll definitely not make any money off. So
yeah,
I don't see him selling anytime soon. I saw there was like a rumor, like some fake rumor in the Daily Mail, or I forgot what it was I saw last week, and everybody online was like, "Well, that's clearly just false." It's just to start it up again right before the January window coming up next month, and I don't see Ashley selling anytime soon unless I win the Mega Millions or the Powerball here. Then I'd be the first one to do it, or give at least $400 million to some person to help me out. But no, I don't see Ashley doing anything anytime soon.
So it's just kind of, I feel bad for Newcastle fans, because I went there last season. A mutual friend of ours who we met at the university as well, Jack. I went and stayed with Jack for a day, and I got to see the Man City game last season, and just talking to the fans up there, I mean, there's just pure hatred, and all they want is a team, just a little bit of money put in, and just to see a good effort brought out for the team. They love Rafa. They absolutely love Rafa. And it's just tough to see an owner that just putting so little effort in and so little money. It's just tough to see. I went, and like I said, I saw the Man City game last season, and it was one of my favorite grounds I've ever been to, got to be honest. The game was a bit drag, and people were...
Were you as high up as I was?
No, I actually was in the club level on the side. I was not in the away end.
That was dreadful. It was like, was it 40, 50 flights of stairs? I had exercise-induced asthma getting up to the top.
I tell you what, it is absolutely ridiculous that they get away with that. Sunderland and Newcastle, the only two places. I think there's one more out there, actually. But you should not. It's a rule that you're not allowed to put away fans in the top, just in the top tier. It should be on the bottom and the top, or just the bottom. But it is ridiculous. That's a whole other can of worms we won't go into, because I hate that. It takes away from the atmosphere. The atmosphere there could be so much better, I genuinely believe, if they put away fans down the bottom. It's already great. The Newcastle fans are amazing. But if you put the away fans down there with everyone else, then I think it could liven up the atmosphere. Anyway, I digress. I think we should kind of move on now.
To the preview.
Yeah, we're going to talk about – we have a game coming up Saturday, 9 a.m. Central Time kickoff, 10 a.m. Eastern. Newcastle away. So West Ham will be making the 400-whatever-mile trip up there and back to take on Newcastle. So we'll kind of transition into that. Tony, I want you to give us some players. Who do we need to be weary of on Newcastle right now? Are there any players that we need to be looking out for?
Well, usually Rondon's been he's been hot as of late, but he hasn't. He didn't play. I can't remember. Like, you know, he's been in good form as of late. And Lascelles is out. I saw, and
that's good.
Shelby was on the bench today. But if you know, if Perez and Ken, if Kennedy and Richie can, you know, make some magic on the wings, I think you guys should be worried. But you know, they've been playing a lot better as of late. So it's been a nice refresher to see some actual attacking. And
how about DeAndre Yedlin?
Oh yeah, Yedlin, yeah, big DeAndre. I love DeAndre. He's good. He played really well today. I saw some of the highlights. Richie should have scored, and
yes, Richie definitely should have scored.
But I'd say Matt Richie's the most consistent guy. He's my favorite because he puts 100% effort in every match. And
yeah, what's the song you guys sing? Richie's fucking magic, and yeah, you said
he
could have went.
He wears a magic hat, but he said no, fuck that. That's my favorite.
Yeah, so it always makes me laugh. It's like, I think we may have been slightly interested in Richie, and the fact that we made it into one of their songs is very funny to me. It's funny. I actually do wish we would have signed him now, looking at his
track record
up
there.
Yeah, he's played very well lately. And is it correct? Did you guys go the first 10 games this season without winning a game? Is that right?
I believe you are correct.
Yeah, and then you win the next three. So. That's amazing how that works.
We should have beat Man United, and we shit the bet on that one. And
I remember that.
I was screaming and
2-0 up.
And you know, I'm screaming in downtown Disney World, and you know, then we just, you know, then it all went tits up, as you could say.
Let's go into some predictions then. So, Brawley and I don't know if Brawley's told you about our prediction league. But we have a West Ham shirt on the line. Winner, whoever has the most points at the end of the season, gets a free shirt from the other person. So I guess you could say the loser buys the other shirt. We're doing 3 points is a win, and a win is correct result, correct score line. A draw is correct result, wrong score line. And a loss is wrong result, wrong score line. So I'm going to go and start my prediction, and I'm going to say West Ham 2-0. Tony, what are you thinking? Are you going to go with your Newcastle boys, or are you going to go with West Ham or draw?
I'm gonna take a 2-2 draw.
Nice.
We don't win away from home very often, and it seems like Newcastle, we never play very well, at least not in the recent years. I'm a little concerned going into this game. I think I'd rather Newcastle be on a hot streak than a cold streak, because West Ham are always the team to end a cold streak. So, I like that you guys have some form going right now. I don't think we're going to win though. I really don't. I don't think we'll lose either. I'm going to say a 1-1 draw. And I feel a little dirty saying that, because Newcastle are definitely a team we should be beating, in my opinion, with the money that we put in. I mean, you look at, we spent $100 million this window, and it just goes to show that money doesn't solve all your problems, at least not straight away. I think in the long run, we will be much better off for spending this money. And right now, Newcastle and West Ham are still on a level playing field as of right now. I think Newcastle just jumped us on goal difference with this result. So I think we're down to 14th there and 13th. So it's a battle of the middle of the table. It just goes to show that money doesn't solve all your problems right away. We both have great managers. I love Rafa. I love Pellegrini. I think it's going to be a battle. I think we'll see a couple of goals. I think Arnie will probably score for us, and they'll probably answer back real late or something like that. So I'm going to go with a conservative 1-1 draw, hoping we can put in a better performance than we did the last couple of weeks. But 1-1, I think, would be a decent result for us, especially away from home.
All right, so I put in my prediction. I believe I said 2-0. Tony says 2-2. Brawley says 1-1. I want to thank you again, Tony. It's weird saying Tony.
and not to refer to myself. I wanted to say thanks again for coming on. It was nice to meet you. Any final thoughts you want to say to our West Ham listeners from a Newcastle fan?
Hoping for a good match on Saturday. I think our recent form and you guys coming off that loss, I think it should be a good one. I think it should be a good one on Saturday. So I'm hoping for some magic from either Felipe Anderson or Kennedy, the Brazilians, to make an impact.
Definitely. Well, Tony, thank you so much for coming on. I know it was last minute. We wanted to get a couple other Newcastle guys on as well, but that didn't work out. And luckily, you were able to do it last minute, so I appreciate it. And I'm sure I'll talk to you in the near future.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks, man.
See you, Tony. And we'd like to say thank you to our good friend Tony Gentile for coming on and doing this segment. Like I said in the interview, it was last minute, and we're just thankful that he was able to hop on with us. I think it's going to give a whole new perspective to that segment, and I think it gives some good insight on what it's like to be a Newcastle fan this time of the year. But anyway, it's the last point in the show. We got to wrap things up. Tony, do you have anything you'd like to say before we send it off?
Yeah, you mean Anthony. No, I'm just kidding. No, I have nothing else to say other than thank you again to all of our listeners. We're back. I'm so glad to be back. We're going to try to be more regular, hopefully record Sundays, get it in your feeds Mondays, if we can navigate our busy schedules and get back on that podcast schedule so y'all can listen before the other big podcasts come in. And since that's our quote-unquote competition. anyway, Brawley, since I always mess up, how can they contact us? You know all the good stuff.
Social media, you can reach us on Twitter at West Ham Pod USA. If you'd like to send us an email, you can shoot us an email at AmericanWestHamPod@gmail.com. And guys, don't forget, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review if you can. Leave us a little message and a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate it. Like I always say, it helps us reach higher in the charts and get more people's ears. Thank you to everyone for listening this week. Tony signing off from Harrisburg. Brawley signing off from St. Louis. We will see you guys next week. See you later.
All right. It just might be Colton Cole. Vesti! Ricardo Vesti might just have found West Ham back to the Premier League. Now this is more than a hobby. Give them more like I'm Bobby. This is my team and they got me. Shout out to Billy, we're bonding. We got us 3 cups, mate. I know it ain't too late. We'll turn that 3 into 4 and turn that 4 into 8. So come on, you Irons. It's time, throw on your claret and blue and listen up to this rhyme. 112 years, wow. Iconic bowling ground at London Stadium now. Blowing bubbles from the crowd. Let the Premier League know. The Irons going for the goal. Scoring 100-plus goals like Paulo Di Canio. So kick it off at the homies known as Brawley and Tony, and keep on blowing those bubbles until they bring us a trophy. I'm forever blowing bubbles and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, and I'm forever blowing bubbles and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hey, I believe it, I know that we're winning. I've been here since the very beginning. Yeah. Dreaming of the gold medal, we're lifting. Set it up like we're penalty kicking. 57,000 people packed. Hear the fans shout from the back. Take the ball and then we all attack. Make opponents feel the hammer crack. Wild nights, highlight stats. Tony got you covered on that. Brawley got the stories and the facts. Together everything is down packed. 3-time gold winners, but now it's time to get another cup. West Ham fans, stand up. West Ham fans, stand up. I'm forever blowing bubbles. And my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West. West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, said I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hey.
Big wins, big games, big moments, big rewards. Absolutely. Disappointment. All season, promotion demanded by West Ham. On a sunny afternoon in May at Wembley, promotion to the Premier League has been delivered.
West Ham, Wembley winners again for the first time since 1980. But more significantly, back in the Premier League.